Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 19, The Lord Begs Charity from Bali Maharaj, text number 42. Taitat Purnam Abhyatmam Yatschanet Yanritam Vachaha Sarvam Net Yanritam Bruyat Sadiskriti Swasan Mritaha. Atta, therefore, etat, that, purnam, completely, abhyatmam, drawing the compassion of others by presenting oneself as always poverty-stricken, yat, that, cha, also, na, not, iti, thus, anritam, false, vachaha, words, sarvam, completely, na, not, iti, thus, anritam, falsity, bruyat, who should say, saha, such a person, duskriti, infamous, shwasan, while breathing or while alive, mritaha, is dead or should be killed. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, the safe course is to say no. In other words, don't give Vamadeva anything. He asks for 3 steps of land, and you say, we'll give you no steps of land. It's too much to ask. That's the safe side. So if someone asks you for charity, just say no. That's the safe side. Although is it a falsehood? Although it is a falsehood, it protects one completely. I don't know. Well, anyhow, we'll have to try to figure that one out. It draws the compassion of others towards oneself and gives one full facility to collect money from others for oneself. Someone asks you, can you give me some charity? He says, I have absolutely nothing, you know. And they go, oh, you poor boy, I'll give you some charity. Maybe I should give you something. A lot of times in book distribution, you ask people, can you give a donation? They say, I have no money, you should give me a donation. Nonetheless, if one always pleads that he has nothing, he is condemned. For as a dead body, while living or still breathing, he should be killed. Oh, that's pretty heavy. In other words, was it Chandramali Maharaj? Someone said the other day that in India, I think it was Chandramali Maharaj, in India, you have professional beggars. They go out all day and they beg. They collect all this money for their retirement. Prabhupada said there's professional beggars and household beggars, for a living they beg. So during the day they dress up as a sannyasi, and they go door to door begging from people. And at night they come back home and they put on white and they're with their family. That's how they make their living, professional beggars. And in India, if you go to India, there's many, many people always asking you for money wherever you go, especially the traffic lights. And they're part of a mafia usually. In other words, there's some mafia agent, head of the mafia. He has a whole crew of beggars. And they go and beg and they come back and give him whatever they begged, and he gives them their payment for the day. In other words, they're all professional beggars, and the head person is he's head of the begging company. And he gives a salary. Or else, sometimes they have to beg from they give all the money to the head of the begging company, and then they have to beg from him for some money. That way they become expert beggars. In India, it went so far as sometimes they actually even cut off the hand of one of their children, or they cripple it, so they can make more money by begging. That's pretty extreme, but... Purport, beggars always present themselves as possessing nothing. And this may be very good for them, because in this way they are assured of not losing their money and of always drawing the attention and compassion of others for the sake of collection. But this is also condemned. When purposely continues this begging, professional begging, he is supposed to be dead while breathing. Or, according to another interpretation, such a man of falsity should be killed while still breathing. The Vedic injunction in this regard is as follows. There's a Sanskrit verse here. Atayitad purnam abhyatmanya neti siyat sarvam neti ruyat pa pikasya kir tir jayate sainam tadrai riva hanyat. One continuously poses himself as possessing nothing and collects money by begging, he should be killed. Sainam tatraiva hanyat. Well, if he's killed, there'll be one less beggar, so there'll be more for the other beggars to go around. But rather extreme. Strishu, then text 43, in flattering a woman to bring her under control, in joking, in a marriage ceremony, in earning one's livelihood, one's life is in danger, in protecting cows from brimical culture, or in protecting a person from an enemy's hand, falsity is never condemned. So do we all memorize that? Important verse. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains about two different states of consciousness. One state of consciousness is, since we have a material body, then we have to figure out how to utilize the body properly. And since we're a spirit soul, we should know how to utilize the soul, ourselves, so we can utilize the body also to make spiritual advancement. Therefore, Krishna has two different divisions, Swayan, Swadamo, Viguna, Paradharma, Sunustita, Tredharme, Nidanam, Shayak, Paradharmo, Bhayavaha. It is better to perform one's own duty, even imperfectly, than to follow someone else's duty. Destruction of the cause of one's own duty is better because to follow someone else's duty is dangerous. In other words, as we're living in the material world, there is a possibility of getting sinful reactions for our activities. Now, there are sinful reactions in the mode of goodness, there are sinful reactions in the mode of passion, and sinful reactions in the mode of ignorance. And especially one should avoid sinful reactions in the mode of ignorance and passion. Because at least with goodness, there is possibility that we can go up in goodness and get some clarity, so eventually we can learn how to do things transcendentally. But in ignorance and passion, there's a tendency to go downwards, even into the lower species of life eventually. So we should know what kind of body we have. Now, as I mentioned before, you may not be aware of it in Slovenia, But nowadays, people are not even aware of which body they actually have. Or they believe, I don't know how sincerely, or maybe they're just crazy, that you, by imagination, you could actually have a different body. As I mentioned before, that reporter, who was about the same size as me, was going to the students at the University in Oregon and telling them that actually, as far as I'm concerned, I'm a 2-meter-high Chinese lady. Now, do you accept the fact that I'm a 2-meter-high Chinese lady? And the student said, yeah, of course, if you feel like that, of course we accept it. So that's how far down society has gone. As I also mentioned, that in the bathrooms in schools now, they have cat litter in the bathroom. Because some of the students identify themselves as cats, and they have some place, they need some place to pass stools, so they put cat litter in the bathroom. And of course, America is the leader of the Western world, so it's just a question of time before we catch up. We'll have to have a special bathroom for cats. People who identify themselves as cats here, or dogs, or monkeys, or whatever else. Things will become even more complicated than they already are. But Krishna says, Ukraman tam sitim vapi, punjana vagunanvita, vimuro nanapashanti, pashanti jnana chakshusha, that the foolish, they cannot understand how the living entity quits his body. So how many people are foolish? People don't. The most important event that's going to happen in our existence is not our birth. That already happened. When we're born, we're born. It's when we're going to die. And how many people are concerned about where they're going next, or if they're going someplace next? Modern propaganda has made it such that people believe that no one knows. You can go on the internet, you can hear about past life experiences of people, or out-of-body experiences. But that people think is for a bunch of kooks. A kook, is that, you have that word here? Bunch of crazy people, you know, extremists. They don't take it seriously. I mean, they only take seriously what science has proved. And since science has proved nothing so far, because everything they supposedly proved is always disproved eventually, so they've never proved anything. So people don't believe in anything. They don't know anything, actually. All they know is what is being told to them today, and they're told that they should accept it because it's based on science. If you don't believe in science, then you're anti-science, and you must be a crazy person. So the only thing people have really been trained up is how to obey other crazy people. Anda yatandira pagiyamanas te pisha tantra urudami bada. Blind people are simply leading other blind people. But since people have to accept an authority, they accept these blind people as an authority. According to them, no one knows anything, really. Whatever they say at the moment is the most learned thing that they found out, because they know at least, called neti-neti. They've learned at least the last thing that they said was true, they found out was untrue, so they get a little bit closer to what actually the truth is by eliminating all the untruths. Since there are unlimited untruths, they're going to have a ways to go before they find out what the truth is, namely that they're the untruth. So people don't know how they quit their body. 99.9% of the people in Ljubljana today, if you ask them, what happens when you leave the body? They have no idea. Matter of fact, I wonder if we have any idea exactly what happens when we leave the body. or what kind of body one enjoys under the spell of the modes of nature. We look in the mirror and we say, well, I'm a woman, hopefully, or I'm a man, or I don't know what I am now. At least we have some, you know, try to figure out. We have, and we stop there. We think, well, I'm so high, I'm so tall, and I weigh so much, and I'm so much old, and I, this body, etc., etc. But we have no idea what mode of nature it's working under. We don't really care. As long as there's a place to sleep, then I'm all right. And if there's something to eat, I'm all right. And other things. But we have no idea what these activities are, what mode of nature they're under. How many people think when I go to sleep, I'm in the mode of ignorance? Or there's any difference between being in the mode of ignorance and being in passion? Or even in goodness? How many people think, they think goodness, most people because they're in passion and ignorance, they think goodness is something which is undesirable. It's for some failures in life. People can't get ahead. They try to be good. And good people finish last. Is that right? You get stepped over if you try to be good. Do they have that expression here? Good people finish last? So, who wants to be good? No one is trained to be good nowadays. You're trained how to cheat and lie and steal. In a way that's respectable, of course. That doesn't get you into too much trouble. You just take enough chance that you hope you don't get caught. So, going to school nowadays learns how to become a professional cheater. How to become expert. If you want to learn how to become a good criminal, then get arrested and go to jail. And all the more or less good criminals, some fairly experienced criminals are in jail. But of course, if they're in jail, they're not so expert. better to learn from someone who's not in jail. But anyhow, if you go to jail, there's a lot of things to learn. You can learn everyone's how they got. They were trying to become an expert cook and crook, but how they went wrong. So you can learn from other people's failures. People don't know what kind of body they enjoy. They don't know about the three modes of nature. They don't know how they're being forced to act according to those modes. They don't know about their destination in the future. And therefore, they're. And the external point of view, they're totally in ignorance. If you don't know who you are, if you don't know what body you're in, even if you don't know who you are, if you don't know what your body is and how it works, and how to, you know, then what can you do anything correct? If you're riding down the street in a Polsky Fiat, I don't know if they have one here. What kind of, do they have any cheap cars here in Slovenia? You don't know? No one, all the cars are expensive? Dacia. You know anyone with the Dacia?
What about it?
Well, you have these little cars. I've seen the little cars here. You know, I don't know if they're rented cars or people buy them. The ones that cost like probably 4,000 euros or something new. They look like little tiny dogs. Easy to park. And if you think you get into one of these cars and you think, I have a Porsche, I'm going to race drive it. Well, you're going to be a failure. It's not going to act like a race car. And you try to, you know, you know what a Porsche is? You see a Porsche and you say, I'll race you. You're just in the wrong. You're imagining yourself to be something you're not. And you're going to lose. So unless we find out who we are, then how can we utilize this body properly? Just like people get married. They never inquire from each other. They fall in love. They look to each other. They look completely beautiful. It doesn't really matter. They're going to be beautiful forever. Doesn't matter what happened. They're in love. And then after they get married, then they find out that the man, he doesn't like children. And the woman, she got married just to have a whole bunch of children. She found out that the man, he wants to work in the temple as a cook. And she wants an apartment in the most luxurious part of town. He wants him to ride around the town in a bicycle, and she wants a Rolls Royce. And then they can't find out why they're not compatible. They were so much in love to begin with. What went wrong? That these things would never stand in our way because we're in love. These minor things like how many children you have, where you're going to live, what you're going to do for a living, all these things didn't really matter so much because we're in love. And then finally, we're not in love anymore. And these are the only things that matter. And I got to find someone else to be in love with it who can fulfill my desires. So we should know something about what we want also, what our expectations in life is, and seek people who are similar in line with ourselves. And on the other side, there's spiritual advancement. So, in terms of charity, Krishna says, tatavyam iti yadanam diyate nupakarine desha kale chapatre cha tadanam satvitam smritaha satvikam smritaha. Yeah. Charity, the mode of goodness, means to give charity. Datavyam iti yadanam. Give some charity to someone who's worthy. Now people have no discrimination. They don't know who's worthy and who's not worthy. They think, at least they think themselves to be worthy. And if they see someone and they ask them for some charity, then they may give charity not for the sake of the person, but so they don't feel guilty. Or they identify with the person. Or something. But they have no idea who charity should be given to or who should not be given to. Just like if you want a little old lady, you think, oh, I should be good and help her across the street. So you help her across the street, and her intention was to rob a bank. So you've just assisted her to rob a bank. So she goes to hell for robbing a bank, and you go to hell with her for assisting her in doing it. All in the name of doing something good. So there's no training in anything. Charity, austerity, as Krishna says, austerity, charity, and penance. These have to be performed. Because they purify even the great souls. But there's no training. What is charity? What does Krishna say? Jagna dana tapa karma na tyajam iti chapare. Na tyajam karim evatat. Jagnas danam tapaschaiva pavanani manushina. Acts of sacrifice, charity, and penance are not to be given up. They must be performed. Indeed, charity, sacrifice, charity, and penance purify even the great soul. So charity, everyone's going to give in charity. It's impossible not to give in charity. Charity, Prabhupada says in the Nectar of Instruction, to give the holy name to people is actually the greatest charity. It's not only giving, you know, money to people or giving away your possessions, also giving something that's valuable, that's valuable information is also charity. So the greatest charity is to give someone Krishna consciousness, which will also include giving them prasadam, for instance, or giving them the means by which they can exist so they could actually perform Krishna consciousness. That's what charity is meant for. But to give people a gun so they can shoot themselves It's not exactly good charity. Then one becomes implicated in such charity. And anything besides helping people advance towards Krishna consciousness is very inauspicious. So here, of course, we can memorize, and of course, Shukacharya is giving us instructions from the Shastra for people in the mode of passion. But as devotees, we shouldn't memorize this verse, and when someone asks for some charity, or we're supposed to give something away, we say, well, according to the Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, we got married, but I didn't chant Om, so it wasn't really a vow. Sorry, lady. See you later. Or we should lie. Of course, here it says, in protecting cows and Brahminical culture and protecting a person from an enemy's hand, falsity is never condemned. And maybe flattering a woman to bring her under control and joking in a marriage ceremony. In a marriage ceremony. What? So I don't think we can say, well, it said Brahminical culture. It's like you hear there's a title of a movie called Avatar, so you think it must be spiritual. It has nothing to do with anything spiritual, but because that's Avatar, therefore, you know, let's go and see it. It's bona fide. So Shukacharya says, in protecting Brahminical culture, in defending someone from death or an enemy, etc., etc., and in marriage too, sure, why not? So this will completely confuse us. Shukacharya is an acharya for the demons. He's not an acharya for the devotees. Although we can take some, as it says, taking poison from nectar, or an eligible lady, accepting marriage, an eligible lady from even a lowly family, and taking, what was the other one? What's that? No, there's Chanaka Pandit, taking poison from nectar, nectar from poison, taking, anyhow, these two things. So sometimes we can take instructions partially if they're bona fide, but some of them are not necessarily, even if they're in the Srimad Bhagavatam, very helpful for our advancement in Krishna consciousness. And ultimately, Bali Maharaj will reject Shukacharya's instructions because they're not the reality. They're false, ultimately, because the truth is Vamanadeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Serving him is the truth, and everything else is just different degrees of illusion. Although in the different degrees of illusion, if you're following the illusion in the mode of goodness, is better than following in the mode of passion or ignorance. It's a step up. And if you're in ignorance, following the illusion in passion is better than ignorance. Just like the example is used, that one sage was sitting in meditation and some villagers ran by because they were being pursued by thieves. And so the villagers ran by and then the thieves came and asked the sage, where did those villagers run by? Where did they run to? And the sage said, I can't be dishonest. I have to be truthful. So he told the thieves where the people ran to. And the thieves caught up with the people and killed them and stole all their property. So, of course, the thieves went to hell, and this honest sage went to hell with the thieves for assisting them. So we should know what is truth, even relative truth, and what is untruth, so we can act appropriately. So it won't lower our motive, our situation. It won't interfere, ultimately, with our development of Krishna consciousness. And when one is not fully Krishna conscious, one has to act intelligently with full knowledge, even in the material world. Therefore, in the Shishu Upanishad, it says, one should have both material and spiritual knowledge, both of them. So it's not that we're trying to cultivate material knowledge to get ahead in material life. We're trying to cultivate real material knowledge so we know how to act in the material world to develop our spiritual consciousness. So our activities don't run contrary to our development of spiritual awareness of Krishna consciousness. So a certain amount of intelligence is required for that too, and that's found in the Bhagavad Gita in many different places. So we're not trying to become avidutas all at once. That we don't dress properly, we don't eat properly, we don't sleep properly, we don't talk to anyone properly, because I'm transcendental. Two kinds of people are happy in the world. One in pure consciousness and the one who's completely in ignorance. So we should try to become purely Krishna conscious, happy that way. Not be imitating an avidutta, becoming happy in the mode of ignorance. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna, thank you for the lecture. Thinking about appearance, and we don't know who we really are, so reality is not easy to understand. With the proper spiritual education, we can learn a bit. And I remember, some years ago, it was like Mataji, and she was for her birthday first time in Hare Krishna Food for Life. She was distributing prasadam for Food for Life, and she was very happy because first life she desired this service seva, and after some days she lost everything. So she was on the other side. Then she needed this prasada because she has nothing. So this can be also to think importance of spiritual education for other. But we have this moral principle that giving in charity is important. So how to, to change this principle into the good habit that we can understand deeper from the other side who we can give and how to receive properly also?
Well, there's formulas, but in any case, if we have a certain amount of income, then we can decide how to utilize at least part of it and to give it in charity. And it becomes a habit. Anything we do regularly generally becomes a habit. But we shouldn't give away so much that we start lamenting, because that's charity in the mode of ignorance. Why did I give so much away? And we shouldn't give it in passion, trying to calculate what we're going to get back from it. Put, something in the box and we hear it multiplies. We wonder, when is the interest coming? Krishna, when are you sending the interest? That should be done in the mode of goodness, without the tavyam iti to a worthy person. Tavyam iti yadanam. Diyate nupakarine. At a proper place, at a proper time, without expectation of return.
Yes, I see, these beggars. I'm thinking if they are professional, they stay, in the same place. So they sit in the same place. I'm thinking they are professional because it's not a profession, to be a beggar. But if one person...
Well, unless you're a sannyasi.
Yeah, of
course. Prabhupada said when he was asked about being, Prabhupada said he was a professional beggar. Sannyasis are professional beggars.
Yeah.
But for Krishna, of course.
But one person, maybe once, he or she has the need for begging, then is not professional, then he can...
Well, it's always different. In the material world, if you give someone in charity, then you have to accept the karma. Therefore, charity is not recommended for anyone except for a Brahmin or a sannyasi or a devotee who's going to utilize it in Krishna's service. So the important thing is that it ultimately goes to Krishna. If it doesn't go to Krishna, then we won't go to Krishna either.
Yeah, because I'm a little bit confused between, you know, they need, you know, someone begging and someone they borrow you some money, maybe, you know. And,
well, hopefully they return it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, if you cannot...
to lend is to lose, usually.
Some other ways, you mean it's...
Well, we give prasadam to people. If they're on the street and they're begging, we give them some prasadam. Hopefully they'll accept it. With the idea, when we tell them that this is offered to Krishna or something, so they become Krishna conscious. So we have our charity that we give. We give the holy name, we give prasadam. We try to spread Krishna consciousness in some way. Therefore, people give, when they donate for building a temple where the deity will be worshipped, or they donate for deity worship, that this is proper utilization of the resources.
Thank you.
Anything else? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I have a question, actually. Can you please clarify a little bit that I understand some things which is happening in our society? So we can get also some charity from people, things or sometimes donation in money. But sometimes these things are not like new, they are like old, already used. Should we accept this?
Well, if someone gives me a used Rolls Royce, I'll probably.
Okay, yeah.
I'll say, well, anyhow, you know. Out of my compassion and mercy, I'll accept it. You know, how old is it? It's 2 years old. Oh, it's all right. No. Don't worry about it. Depends what it is. If someone gives me, you know, some used worn shoes, I may think twice, especially if they don't fit me.
Yeah. Usually it's with clothes like this that you get like something that you already was using, and then you bring it because you don't want to give to like this Catholic charity, but you bring it to temple.
So maybe I don't know. It depends. Yeah. Someone could utilize it. Why not?
And then another thing is, we got also some charity in a way of like boga or something like this. But then you see this boga goes away because we didn't utilize it properly. What is then on our? Do we get some reactions about?
Yeah, of course we get some reaction.
Yeah, we are throwing away the.
We shouldn't take except more than we can use.
Yeah, we should not take and.
No, we should.
Because if you then say to the devotee, like, you should not do this, it's like, don't criticize me, like this.
Tell him I said it. No.
No, to understand just the principle.
Anyhow, the principle is that if someone gives you something you're not going to use, why accept it? Give it to someone who can use it. Otherwise, it's atyahara, collecting too much.
Atyahara, collecting too much.
Yeah. You know that verse from Nectar of Instruction? Atyahara priyasis cha prajapani magraha janasangas pralayam cha chadvir bhakti vinashiti. Collecting too much, or eating too much, or idle talk, or not following the rules and regulations, or following them without knowledge, association with worldly minded persons, and being greedy for worldly achievements, these destroy devotional service. Anyhow, if we know the Shastra, then we can get some idea.
I thought that there are no reactions for the devotees like
this. Okay, you can try it out. We come back next lifetime, let us know.
Thank you.
Learn the hard way. Thank you very much. Grandharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.